The following sermon was recorded at Compass Bible Church in Naples, Florida. For more information on Compass Bible Church, visit our website at compassnaples.org.
All right, so open your Bibles to John 6. We're in this short series on setting your compass. All right, so remember what the purpose of a compass is. What's the purpose of a compass? Gives you direction, finding your way, kind of pointing you in the right direction. It's actually what it's doing. It's orienting you to the real world. Okay, it's helping you say, okay, where am I at in the actual physical real world around me? And when do you actually need a compass the most? When you're lost, okay? Or, you know, you're in an unfamiliar place. So this happens to me. Do you ever leave your home and you're driving your car, talking to someone on Bluetooth, right? Or listening to the radio, or somehow you're just distracted thinking about something else, and you sort of go into autopilot mode, right? Ever happened to you? I mean, you get in the car, you're saying, I have to go to this place. And your mind starts going somewhere else. And before you know it, you've turned right, you've turned left, you've turned right, and you show up at work or at school. He's like, how did I get here? I was supposed to go there. Because you just went into autopilot mode. Happens when you're going somewhere that you don't normally go. I mean, you don't set your GPS in your car when you're going to work, right? You know how to get there. You don't set your GPS when you're going somewhere that's very familiar to you. That's autopilot. You don't need the help. But for instance, when you go to Miami Airport, first time, you better set your GPS. But I know from experience that may not even help you. All right. What destination is autopilot for your life? I'm not talking about a physical place. I'm talking about where does your life just normally go if you're not thinking about it? Is it a good place or is it a bad place that your life just naturally goes to? Well, when you're in an unfamiliar environment, something new is happening in your life, something different, something that's not normal, you need a compass. And what's our compass? God's word. The compass for our life. And where should this compass be in our life? Right here, right in front of us, not on a bookshelf, gathering dust, not under a pile of things hoping you'll get to it someday, not under the seat of your car ready for the next time you go to church, right? All right, the compass needs to be right here in front of us every day. Anybody finding themselves in some unfamiliar territory of life past few months? Yeah, past few years. Could be a job, could be some family things, could be a school, could be health, things have changed, could be a relationship, finances, some unfamiliar territory for you. Maybe all of the above. you need this. All right, God knows what you're going through. God loves you. He has a plan. What did we say last week? He knows what he's doing, all right, by allowing this situation in your life. He knows what he's doing. So here in John chapter 6, we're reflecting on some important truths about looking to Jesus in stressful situations, setting our compass, turning our feet, following him. Last week, it was looking to Jesus when you're tested, right? When you face changing circumstances, when you face some difficult challenges or problems, trusting him with everything rather than what we often do, just try to deal with the problem. And what were some ways we deal with the problem? One, just get rid of the problem, all right? Secondly, we try to solve the problem. Again, nothing wrong with that, but that may not be what God has for us. Third thing we try to do is just live with the problem. Just resign ourselves to the fact that, well, this is just my destiny. This is life. Jesus knows what he's doing when we get in those situations. He allows these situations to test us, to help us grow. So life here on earth is preparation for something much greater, for eternity, for heaven. I mean, this is a blip on the radar of eternity, but it's an important one, all right? This is preparation. Do you believe that? So if you don't believe that, if you think this life is all that there is, then when we encounter a test, when we encounter a trial, when we are in a crisis, it seems kind of like a cruel joke. Why would God allow these things in my life? Common question. But if God loves you enough to help prepare you for something greater, then maybe you need to be open to the fact that God is allowing this in your life for good. He's wanting to do something good in your life. Does that make sense? Well, that's what's happening to the disciples in John 6. Out in the storm, on a boat, on the Sea of Galilee. It's a great story. Just like last week, the feeding of the 5,000, you know, we just think Jesus walking on the water, wow, maybe he's God. You know, it should cause us to believe in him. But this story is more than that. This is a story that helps us to follow Jesus as disciples, to set our compass, because the truths in this story help us with another kind of storm that happens to all of us eventually. And it's not about the weather, right? It's about the storms of life. And that hits us all eventually. Trials, difficulties, challenges, and they can overwhelm us like a storm. This is about our hearts. And going into autopilot is not going to help here. You're not going to end up in the right place. We're going to need our compass. We need to lift our eyes up and see what God is doing. Now, I imagine all of us have been in one of these kinds of storms, and I know probably all of us at one level or not another are in a storm like this right now. Being in a storm can be a frightening experience, okay? Physical storm, I mean, you can feel small, beaten down, out of control, nowhere to go, nowhere to hide, and you get scared and you need help. So what do you do? All right, so here's our big idea for today. Jesus has a purpose for life's storms. Jesus has a purpose for life's storms. Let's pray about it. Well, Lord, we're not minimizing the challenges that some of us are going through right now. They are overwhelming. They are real. Just like the disciples on that boat, their lives were threatened by the storm, and it was frightening. Lord, some of the things we're facing in life right now are frightening and scary. It's uncharted territory for us, Lord. And we need wisdom. We need your guidance. So help us to see, Lord, from your word, what you are wanting to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today I want us to see five truths that will help you in the storms of life. This is not a new passage for me, for us, but you know what? Life is new every day. And if you're going through a storm, these truths may speak to you in a fresh way. I know they're speaking to me in a fresh way. All right, because Jesus has a purpose, when I'm in a storm, I need to remember first that Jesus actually brought me here. So I need to trust him. So remember kind of the context in John 6, what's happening, verses 1 to 14. Jesus had just performed this miracle of feeding the 5,000, which was more like 20,000 with the men, women, all the children. And he multiplied little loaves and fish to do that. And last week we saw how Jesus knows what he's doing. When circumstances change, when we face difficult challenges, he knows what he's doing when he allows those things into our lives to test us so that we would, whatever he's given us, we would bring it to him and we would trust him. Just like they took the loaves, gave it to Jesus. He's not expecting you to do a miracle in the challenge you're facing right now. He will do the miracle. But you've got to give him what you have. You got to give it to him. He knows what he's doing, and he has a purpose in everything he does. Let's look at verses 15 to 18. John 6. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. All right, remember, we've got four Gospels that actually tell the Jesus story. And this particular story of the disciples in the boat walking on water is actually also recorded in Matthew 14 and in Mark 6. And again, it's not like John is going, oh, somebody else wrote about this? I didn't know it. He knew. John knew that Mark had written the story. He knew that Matthew had written the story. He knew that Luke had written the story. John was later. And so he writes different things. He leaves some things out because he knows you have those stories. But he also adds new information. But we get some important details in those earlier accounts. And in Matthew 14, verse 22, it says this. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Little things here, okay? He makes them do this. Why does Mark or Matthew say it that way? Well, they probably didn't want to get in the boats without him to go to the other side. If you remember, Matthew tells us it was a remote place. Do we have a map? Hannah, let's see what that map, if we looked at this last week, you'll see they were here. This was where he fed the 5,000. They had come across from Capernaum area and come over to this remote place. And all of these thousands of people had walked around the lake and met him there. And it was a remote place, did not have 7-Elevens or anything else for people to get provision for their journey or whatnot. And it was getting late, you know, no electricity. This is not a great place to be left behind. But Jesus makes them get in the boat, sends them to a destination several miles across the Sea of Galilee. And after dismissing the crowds, okay, he doesn't hitch a ride on another boat. He doesn't start walking around, which is probably what a lot of the people were doing. Instead, Matthew and Mark tells us he climbs a mountain to pray. What is Jesus doing? Sometimes you get so familiar with these stories, you don't stop to think about them. So I encourage you, slow down. When you read the Bible, think about it. It's late at night, the middle of nowhere, a storm is coming, and Jesus stays behind. What's going on? The only explanation I can find is that Jesus knew what he was doing when he sent them out. It's just like in verse 6. When he asked Philip how they could feed all these people, he knew what he was going to do already, but he wanted this story recorded for our benefit to learn something about him. So you always want to be thinking that when you're reading your Bible. What does God want me to know about him, about me, about how I'm to respond to him? It shouldn't surprise us. Jesus knew all these things were going on that I talked about, and he sent them across the lake alone on purpose. On purpose. You might be in a tough place right now. You might be asking, if Jesus brought me to this difficult place in my life, why? Why would he do that? Have you ever asked that question? You should be. How you respond really makes a huge difference. You'd be tempted to say, well, why would he allow that? Maybe he doesn't love me. Is that true? No, it's not true. He loves you very much. Or maybe God isn't powerful enough to save me. Is that true? We know that's not true. Okay? God loves you. God is powerful enough to change the situation if he wants to. So then what's the alternative? He must have a purpose. He must have a reason why he's allowing this in your life, the storm that you're going through right now. So as you read your Bible, you're going to discover there are at least two kinds of storms in life. We've talked about this before. All right. What's the first kind of storm? Storm of correction. Second kind of storm, storm of perfection. So storm of correction is when God is disciplining us. A storm of perfection when God is helping us to grow. So a storm of correction, think the story of Jonah, right? We all know the story of Jonah. He was in a storm. He was swallowed by a whale or a big fish. Why? Why was Jonah swallowed by a fish? Why was he in a storm? He disobeyed. He disobeyed God. He was running away from God, and he had to be corrected. So when those kinds of storms hit, I mean, it's no fun when you're in a storm of correction, but we usually know why they came, right? I mean, when the sailors woke up Jonah and said, hey, what are you doing? Sleeping down here. We're in trouble. Did Jonah know why the storm came? Yeah, he said, my fault. It's my fault. I'm running from God. I know why this is happening to us. Throw me overboard. I'm the problem. So we know, and we know what we need to do. It's repent. We need to turn to God. We need to follow him afresh. We usually know when we've created a storm of correction in our lives. I've done that plenty of times. Because of my sin, my lies, my selfishness, sinful desires, anger, pride, things that I thought maybe I could get away with. But does God see everything we do? Does he know? And he loves us enough to not leave us in that place. When bad things start happening in my life because of those reasons, I usually knew exactly why they were happening. Can you relate? I'm looking for Rob. He's not here this morning. Rob's my foil. He'd be like, yes. I think we all can relate to storms of correction. And when that happens, we need to fall on our face before God. We need to confess our sin, repent, and turn back to God. But here in John 6, that's not what's happening. Okay, the disciples did not need to be corrected. They weren't being disobedient. In fact, they were obeying Christ. Jesus sent them out in the boat into a storm that he knew was coming. Well, that's kind of mean. Why would he do that? Well, he wasn't punishing them. They didn't need to be corrected. But here's what the disciples needed. They needed to be perfected. They needed to grow. It was for their good. I know it's hard, but can you imagine that the storm that you're in right now in your life might be for your good? It might be for your good. Peter was one of the disciples who was actually in the boat that day. And this is what he wrote later in the book of 1 Peter. Put it on the screen. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. I mean, it's hard. I'm grieving. Why? So that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's something better that God is preparing you for, and the trial is part of that. Now, if you're in a storm because you've disobeyed God, okay, let's not put some spin on it. You're not being tested. Okay, you're not being persecuted. If you're in a storm because of sin in your life, you're being disciplined. You're being disciplined, and you need to repent. Turn back to God. Right? But if you're in a storm like the disciples here, because you've obeyed God, you're following him, you're doing what he's told you to do. God, I'm doing what you said. Why is this happening? You need to remember this truth. Jesus has a purpose. He brought you here. You need to trust him. He's in control. He loves you. He can care for you. He has a plan. It's not for your ease. It's not for your comfort. He cares about that. But what he cares about, he's trying to help you grow. All right. So trust him. Second truth to help you is this. When I'm in a storm, I need to remember Jesus is praying for me. I can be encouraged. He's not abandoned me. In Mark chapter 6, we read that when Jesus was alone on the land, climbed the mountain, that he was praying. It actually says this, that he saw the disciples and their struggle. He saw that the wind was against them and that they were struggling in the storm. Again, slow down, think, you know, as you read your Bible, very familiar story here. Jesus had climbed a mountain to pray. It was the middle of the night. The disciples were 3 to 4 miles out on the sea, and there was a storm. Can you see a boat on the water at that time of night, that far away in the middle of a storm? No. You know, how far can you see when you're driving down I-75 at night and there's a pouring rain? I mean, you could barely see the car in front of you. None of us would have seen that boat out on the water. But the Bible says he saw them. He saw that they were struggling. Jesus sees what no one else can see. Right? And he sees you. He sees what you're going through. In fact, in Romans 8:34, we read that right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for us. He's praying for us. He knows your needs. He feels the burdens you feel. He knows what you're going through. Jesus is actually praying for you. Can you remind your neighbor of that? Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for you. He sees your need. He knows your fears. He's in control. You need to trust him. God is on your side. And it's a very human thing to say, well, great. I'm glad he sees me. I'm glad he cares for me. Thanks for praying for me, Jesus. I was hoping you would help me. I was hoping you would get rid of the storm. But Jesus may have a better plan because Jesus has a purpose in it. He's praying for you. You can be encouraged. Don't lose hope. Third thing I need to remember, when I'm in a storm, Jesus will come to me. I need to be looking for him. This one sometimes is hard. This is really hard for me. Look at verse 19. So verse 18, actually, the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. All right, well, Jesus will come to me. This is important because the reality is when we're in a storm, we often feel like Jesus has deserted us. When things are starting to go south in our life, get difficult and hard, we're like, where is God? Where did he go? Classic poem, what's it called? Footprints in the Sand. You know, where were you, Jesus? You know, we were walking side by side, and then when I hit all those difficult parts of life, there's only one set of footprints. Thanks for abandoning me when I really needed you. But whose footprints are they? They're Jesus' footprints because he's carrying us. All right. So as cheesy as you think that poem is, it's good. It's true. Read through the Psalms, which we spent some time in a few weeks ago. King David complained that when he was going through his trials, God seemed far away. God seemed unconcerned. Psalm 77, psalmist feels like God isn't listening, but then he remembers. He remembers what God has done in the past. And that helps him to remember that God's still faithful. He knew that God would ultimately rescue him. So Jesus will come to you, but he may not come at the time when you want him to. He may not come in the way that you want him to, because he knows what we need and when we need it the most. And with the disciples, this is how it often feels. Jesus waited until the boat was as far from land as possible. I mean, they're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and this storm is getting worse and worse. They're at the point where all human hope is gone. Matthew tells us it was the fourth watch of the night, which means it was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. That's not good. This has been a long night of rowing and struggling and trying to get to the other side. But that's when Jesus came to them. Now, here's the part everybody remembers. Jesus comes walking on the water. Now, why did Jesus walk on the water? Because he could. First, was he showing off? Nah, probably not. But you know what? He doesn't mind showing his glory. He doesn't mind giving us a glimpse at times and showing us his power in that. But I think it was this. I think it was to show his disciples that the very thing they feared, which was the sea, was only a staircase for Jesus to come to them. What are you afraid of right now? What is it that's causing you anxiety, fear? Often we fear the difficult circumstances of life, an illness, surgery, grieving a death, some other loss, only to discover that those experiences are actually the road that brings Jesus closer to us. I know it's hard, but can you see the storm that you're facing is actually a staircase for Jesus to come to you? So in this story in John 6, Jesus came to them in verse 19, and we read it, but what was the disciples' reactions when they saw him? Yay, Jesus! No. They were frightened. Can you believe it? They were frightened. Why? I mean, Matthew and Mark tell us they thought he was what? A ghost. Why would they think that? People don't walk on water. All right. This is not a normal thing. Well, that can't be Jesus. It must be a ghost. See, here's the problem. They weren't looking for him. They weren't expecting him to come. Had they been waiting in faith, Jesus, come on, we need you right now. When they saw him, they probably would have immediately said, there he is, thanks for coming. Instead, they jumped to the false conclusion they were seeing a ghost. So here's what you have to understand. Fear and faith don't live well in the same heart. All right? Fear will actually blind our eyes to the presence of the Lord. We won't even see him. We won't recognize him. Fear will fill our brain instead of faith. There's actual brain science that's been done that says joy and anxiety flow through the same channels in your brain. So if you're feeling anxious and have anxiety about something, where's your joy? Yeah, it's already full. If you have joy flowing through, it pushes the anxiety out. They can't both be there in the same moment. It's amazing. So if you're in a storm, circumstances may seem highly unlikely, but you need to know, as you call out to him, Jesus will come to you, but you need to be looking for him, expecting him. You know, is it possible that he's actually been coming to you? I mean, he's walking around your boat. Hey, but you're not recognizing him because you're so afraid. You can't see him. So in the middle of your storm, don't lose your faith. Through eyes of faith, be looking for Jesus. Psalm 23, we read this earlier. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no what? Evil. And why? Because you are with me, is what the psalm says. So God doesn't promise to take away the scary circumstance. What does he promise to do? Be with you. Be with you. Look what Jesus says in verse 20. They were frightened, but he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So here's the fourth truth. Because Jesus has a purpose, when I'm in a storm, I need to remember Jesus will help me to grow. I need to keep my eyes fixed on him. I want to read the section from Matthew 14, same story. It's just there's a whole section that Matthew tells that John doesn't say. And this is what it says. When Jesus, they recognize Jesus finally, he calls out to them, and he's immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him. He's still a little unsure. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So part of living a life of faith is going to involve taking more risks. It's not about living life recklessly, but faith really is about believing what God says is more true than what anyone else says, and being willing to follow him no matter what. And sometimes when we do that, that involves, from a human perspective, a certain amount of risk. Sometimes we think of faith as believing, okay, in spite of evidence, hoping in things not seen, and that can be true. But another aspect of faith is this, obeying in spite of consequence. I don't know what's going to happen if I do what God's asking me to do here, but I need to follow Jesus in this. Have you ever felt that way? Uh-oh, if I do what God's asking me to do here, obeying in spite of consequence. Your obedience is actually faith. So Peter saw Jesus out on the water, and he dared to be different. You know, anybody can sit in the boat and watch. You know, we often criticize Peter because, he sank. Yeah, but he got out of the boat. Takes a real person of faith to leave the boat and walk on the water. That's miracle number two in this story. Peter walks on the water. But what caused Peter to sink? Does the Bible tell us? Yeah, it does. He took his eyes off Jesus. And what does he look at? Waves, the storm, all the difficult things, the fish. It's easy to do. It's happened to me. Storms distract us. I mean, you know, they cause us to lose sight of Jesus. He's there. There's Jesus, but looking all around, all these things happening. And so we take our eyes off Jesus in a frantic attempt to save ourselves and regain control. I mean, what was Peter doing? You know, like he could somehow walk on the water and get his feet back going again instead of sinking. You've probably never done that. Now, we all have. Okay. We just try to take control ourselves. So where are you at right now as you face life's challenges? Jesus knows what he's doing. He has a purpose. Okay, if you're feeling lost, don't forget your compass. Pull it out. Don't panic. Panic is probably the worst reaction when you're feeling lost. Remind yourself, God knows. God sees me. God loves me. He's praying for me. I know he's powerful enough. As I call out to him, I believe he will come to me, and I know he'll help me to grow through this. Storms of life are not easy, but they are necessary. They teach us to trust Jesus alone, to obey his word no matter what, but we need to keep our eyes fixed on him and not fixed on the circumstances. All right, fifth truth to help use this. Because Jesus has a purpose, when I'm in a storm, I need to remember, Jesus will see me through. He'll see me through it. I can be thankful and can worship him. Look at verse 20 and 21. Jesus says to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Since Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, whatever he starts, he'll finish. Okay? He's going to complete it. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. We may fail along the way. Is that being kind? We will fail along the way. It's not a matter of may. We will. We're going to fall down. We're going to falter. We're going to sink in the water. Those things are going to happen. But in the end, God will succeed. And after Jesus saved Peter from sinking, this is a great picture. He took his hand. They walked together on the water to the ship. I love that picture. And when they stepped into the boat, it says immediately the wind calmed down. And then we just read it in verse 21. They're out in the middle of the lake, right? That's where they were. Immediately, it says, the boat was at the land to which they were going. Two more miracles. Boom, boom, boom. sea calms, and there they are at the port, at the dock. How did that happen? Jesus was in complete control. So today, whatever storm you're facing, Jesus is in complete control. He'll see you through the storm. And so what did the disciples do? I mean, I'm sure they're just jaws on the bottom of the boat. They saw him conquer the circumstances, calm the storm. Their fear at some level turned to faith. And all they could do was fall down and worship him. Just worship him. Oh, God. You are God. You're in control. Sorry, I forgot. I worship you. So Jesus has a purpose for life storms, for your storms that you're in. So you need to remember Jesus brought you there. You need to trust him. He's not punishing you. He wants to help you grow. He's praying for you. You can be encouraged. He's not abandoned you. He's right there. His eyes are on you. And at the right time, the right place, he's going to come to you. So be looking for him. Don't let fear keep you from seeing him. He's going to help you grow. So when he calls to you and he says, come on, come on, come on out, get out of the boat, let's go. Keep your eyes fixed on him, right? Don't worry about the circumstances around you. Just fix your eyes on Jesus. And Jesus will see you through. He'll see you through. So even in the midst of this, you can be thankful. You can worship him. Aren't you thankful for a compass? Be thankful for God's word. It's there for you. God loves you. He wants to guide you and direct you. But let's keep it out here in front of us throughout the week and trust him and turn our feet and follow him.